Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, April 30th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Studio 7 is going out to Zimbabwe on 909 medium wave and on 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com. Text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The battle for the control of the MDCT continues, with the faction calling for the ouster of party leader Morgan Tsvangirai, asking the former prime minister to appear before a disciplinary tribunal.
A tribunal will carry on whether a person chooses to be present or not to be present. And this, in the letters that they have served, it will be made very clear to them.
But the Tsvangirai faction that expelled the so-called leadership renewal team yesterday says the former trade unionist will not attend the hearing.
The former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai and the National Council of the party nullified whatever happened at Mandela by a resolution yesterday. And this is the National Council that has been sitting since 2011. So definitely we want...
And music icons Oliver Mtukudzi and Charles Charamba visit Tokwe Mokosi flood victims under the United Nations Children's Fund or UNICEF banner.
The battle for the control of the MDCT continued today, with the faction calling for the ouster of party leader Morgan Tsvangirai, today writing to the former prime minister, asking him to appear before a disciplinary tribunal. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Addressing a news conference in Harare today, expelled Deputy Treasurer Elton Mangoma said Tsvangirai will be held before a disciplinary committee within 2 weeks to answer to charges of violating the party's constitution, embezzling party funds, and using violence against political opponents within the opposition. Mangoma did not disclose the money his faction alleges was misappropriated by Tsvangirai.
The issue of the tribunal, as I say, a person has got a right, but a tribunal will carry on whether a person chooses to be present or not to be present. And this, in the letters that they have served, it will be made very clear to them that a tribunal is set. It's up to you to clear your name and those charges before that tribunal. And that tribunal has got the charges. And they will make a decision based on what they have, whether a person is represented or fails to turn up. What the tribunal says will guide our further action from it. Mm-hmm. We can't preempt what the tribunal will say. Otherwise, there will be no need to set it up.
Mangoma, who was with Jacob Mafume, a Harare lawyer, who is speaking on behalf of the so-called renewal faction seeking Tsvangirai's ouster, said the disciplinary tribunal would be comprised of three lawyers who are yet to be named. But Tapiwa Mashakada, who was yesterday appointed by Tsvangirai's National Council as the acting secretary general of the MDCT following BT's expulsion, said Tsvangirai will not waste his time attending a meeting called by expelled members.
We are surprised that Kemp can write a letter to the president of the MDCT when they form their own party. We have nothing to do with their affairs. They must just carry on with what they are doing, and we have moved on.
BT was expelled by Tsvangirai's National Council yesterday after he convened a similar gathering on Saturday that Tsvangirai and his group have described as illegal, bogus, and unconstitutional. Mashakada said BT, who represent Harare East in Parliament, and 11 other legislators dismissed for attending the Saturday meeting remain expelled from the MDCT. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Thank you, Thomas. Meanwhile, as the MDC drama continues to unfold, Tsvangirai's deputy Thokozani Khuphe has been tasked with delivering a letter to Speaker of Parliament Jacob Mudenda, recalling 11 lawmakers who attended the National Council meeting called by Tendai Biti at the weekend. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu spoke with MDCT spokesman Douglas Monzora.
It is going to be given to the Speaker of Parliament very, very soon. Can't give the actual date, but the letter has already been written.
We also understand that there was a press conference by the other faction, and they said that they want Mr. Tsvangirai, Mr. Monzora, and others to come before a disciplinary hearing that they are constituting. Are you going to attend?
That is tantamount to inviting me to a disciplinary committee at ZANU-PF headquarters. I don't go there because I am not a member of that party. I am a member of the MDC led by the former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai. And the National Council of the party nullified whatever happened at Mandela by a resolution yesterday. And this is the National Council that has been sitting since 2011. So definitely we won't go to all those disciplinary, so-called disciplinary hearings, because these are being conducted by crooks, by people who wanted to hoodwink donors that they had held a national council meeting, when this was a farce and a fraud.
MDCT spokesman Douglas Monzora speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The Unified Movement for Democratic Change that was formed in 1999 with the backing of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions is now splintered into many parts. Yet another spin-off of the party is now likely following the weekend call by Secretary General Tendai Biti for Morgan Tsvangirai's ouster from the party. For many now, the question is, who is fighting the people's battle? Ndimiake Makeliele has more.
There was much hope and expectation for change when the MDC emerged in September 1999. The party rubber-stamped that hope by its strong challenge to ZANU-PF in the 2000 parliamentary elections. That was followed by Mr. Tsvangirai's strong but unsuccessful presidential bid against President Robert Mugabe in 2002, and then another strong parliamentary run in March 2005. It was in that year that cracks in the party emerged, culminating in a split in October 2005, led by then-Secretary General Welshman Ngube. Another smaller split ensued. And now, nearly 10 years later, another split following calls by the party's Secretary General Tendai Biti for Tsvangirai's ouster. Many observers say they saw this coming. Harare-based independent political analyst Ernest Mzenge points to recent events.
The Mangoma issue. He wrote a letter to the president literally asking him to step down. Was the major turning point in that infighting.
But independent analyst Blessing Vava, also based in Harare, says the problems started way back.
We saw it coming a few years ago when we realized that the direction that the party was now taking was not the correct path. The founding principles of the MDC did not come up with a clear ideological standpoint, so to say.
Vava says the MDC's widening cracks are weakening the party while strengthening ZANU-PF.
What they're only going to do is exacerbate ZANU-PF's stronghold in power.
As MDC's internal struggles persist, questions arise about alternative parties or candidates to challenge ZANU-PF and President Mugabe. While opposition parties exist, including Love Momaduku's recently formed National Constitutional Assembly, former presidential candidate Simba Makoni's Mawambo Kusila Dawn, or MDC spin-offs like the one led by Welshman Ngube, Mudzengi says the opposition's toughest challenge is winning over the masses.
Masses on the ground are currently for the MDC or ZANU-PF. So to find another party coming that will seriously challenge the hegemony of these two dominant political parties, they will need some time.
Blessing Vava discounts any opposition groups or candidates from forging a strong enough challenge to ZANU-PF.
To be honest with you, I don't think that all the parties that we have now have what it takes to unseat Robert Mugabe. Politics and the political movement is all about debate. It's all about tolerance. It's all about, at the end of the day, you'll be united and coming up with a common goal so that you'll be able to achieve victory when the election time comes.
Vava takes a swipe at the country's civil society, which he says, in the absence of a strong political party or leader, is too partisan and self-serving to be the voice for the people. He says civil society has failed its civic duty.
We have seen a civil society that has been a replica of the political parties, be it aligned to ZANU-PF and aligned to the MDC, but mostly a civil society that was mainly driven by what the donor wants. The donor resources were now the ones calling the shots, doing the programming, instead of those programs coming from the people.
With options against ZANU-PF so few, Ernest Mzenge contends they still hope for change coming from the MDC, which he says still has its strongest asset in its leader, Morgan Tsvangirai.
Tsvangirai remains a darling of masses. He remains widely popular among ordinary Zimbabweans. But it's one thing to be popular among the masses, and it's another to be able to wrestle power. Because issues to do with the boardroom politics are also important.
Despite Mudzenge's confidence in the possible rejuvenation of the MDC, Blessing Vava argues it's now time for Zimbabweans, particularly the youth, to push the agenda and not rely on parties like the MDC to bring change.
The fight in the MDC, absolutely, they have nothing to do with what is affecting the people of Zimbabwe. They have no solution to addressing the socio-economic problems that are bedeviling this country. It's all about occupying the positions of power. That's what they are fighting for. For the people of Zimbabwe, it's now high time that they organize themselves and reclaim their birthright.
For Studio 7, this is Ndimiake Mokalielie.
Mines Minister Walter Chidagwa is walking the talk as he tries to reform the diamond mining sector following complaints by various government ministries that diamond revenue are not being remitted to Treasury. The minister recently threatened to move in and reduce the number of players in the rich alluvial diamond fields in Marange. The first victim is Gye Nyame Investment, whose license has been revoked. The company's shareholders were the Zimbabwe Mining Development Corporation, the ZMDC, which had 50%, the Zimbabwe Republic Police Trust 20%, SEN 24%, and Denta, a company representing the interests of local shareholders. Itai Munyeza and Blessmo Chanakira had 6%. Munyeza told Studio 7 the company has stopped operations, adding management will soon meet Chidagwa to discuss the development.
Another company that has come under the spotlight is the Zimbabwe National Army outfit, Glass Finish Investment. The military-owned company acquired the Zimbabwe Mining Development Corporation's 40% stake in Engine and has been receiving management fees. But Zimbabwe Revenue Authority sources tell Studio 7 that they are investigating the company since it has not been remitting taxes. Human rights groups and the Kimberley Process have for years protested the presence of the security forces in Marange, alleging they were not respecting the people's rights. Chidakwa has also appointed Dan Muringani to chair the ZMDC in an effort to clean up its activities. Muringani told Studio 7 that he's working with the minister, though his brief is to focus on reorganizing the ZMDC. Economist Washington Metlomakulu of Resource Exploitation Watch tells the Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the minister is right in reorganizing the diamond sector.
Well, the reorganization of the Marange diamond fields was definitely overdue. Government has been on record expressing concern over the manner in which the revenues arising out of the Marange diamond have been managed. And the minister hinted at this last year when he came in, and we are now starting to see the fruition. If you look at the five or six companies that have been operating in Marange, only one company really has come out in terms of accounting.
If this reorganization is to be successful, do you think the diamonds will be key in reviving the economy, or they are just overrated?
I think there is a sobering up in this country with regards to the impact the diamonds will have in the overall economy. But I think there will be significant, but not excessively significant as it's been touted.
Government critics are also saying, Mr. Mehlomakulu, it was wrong to involve the security sector because the outfit that includes the ZRP and the one that also includes the ZNA have come under fire for not paying tax, and the one by the ZRP, the license has actually been cancelled.
I think the involvement of the security sector in the government should must be understood in its proper context. This arose out of the lack of funding of this critical sector in the previous government.
That was economist Washington Mehlomakulu of Resource Exploitation speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Police in Maswingo today crushed a protest by members of the Maswingo Residents Trust demanding an immediate reduction in the money charged by the local authority to more than 300 vendors who use Chitima Market. The vendors currently pay $5 each day, an amount they say is too big, especially as the local authority fails to collect refuse and provide basic services in the town. Vendors want to pay $2 per day. Police moved in on the protesting vendors and arrested 9 members of the Maswingo Residents Trust. The arrested are currently being held at Maswingo Police Station. Studio 7 failed to get a comment from the police or the local authority.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. Did you know you can listen to web audio replays of our programs on our website and sign up for newsletters in English, Shona and Ndebele?
Visit our site at www.studio7news.com. You can also give us feedback by text message. Our number is 1-202-465-0318. Coming up,
musicians Oliver Tukumtukuzi and Charles Charamba visit Tokwe Mukosi victims.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
A botched execution by lethal injection in the U.S. state of Oklahoma left an inmate writhing on the gurney for more than 40 minutes before he eventually died from a heart attack. Oklahoma's Department of Corrections says inmate Clayton Lockett was issued the first of the state's new 3-drug lethal injection combination yesterday. 13 minutes later, the convicted rapist and murderer began breathing heavily and clenching his teeth, causing the doctor on the scene to halt the execution.
The United Nations Human Rights Chief says South Sudan's President Salva Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar do not appear concerned about a possible famine in the country. Navi Pillay told reporters in Juba today that she was appalled after holding separate meetings with the two leaders. She said both men were lukewarm to a UN official's call for a month of tranquility so people can plant fields and prevent food shortages.
And a private land and sea survey company says it has detected possible material from the missing Malaysian jetliner in the Bay of Bengal. The location identified by GeoSense is thousands of kilometers from the current search area off the southwest Australian coast.
The newly appointed International Labour Organization Assistant Director General and Regional Director for Africa, Enias Chapinga Chuma, ended his 3-day working visit to Zimbabwe today after meetings with Employers Confederation of Zimbabwe, Labour, Environment Minister Sevia Kasukwere, among other ministers and officials. The visit was meant to familiarize him with the current situation in Zimbabwe. Chuma was recently in Namibia, where he led an ILO delegation at the special session of the African Union Labour and Social Affairs Commission meetings of ministers. Studio 7 failed to reach Mr. Chuma, but MCOS Director John Mufukari says his team was privileged to meet and discuss issues concerning Zimbabwean workers with Mr. Chuma.
Mr. Chuma said the vision of the ILO at this point is centered around the decent work program, the four pillars of the decent work program, and that he would be doing his level best to promote these pillars in Zimbabwe. And of course, as you are aware, we as Zimbabweans at the moment are facing probably one of the most critical crises that we have had to date. So we would like a situation now where we resume social dialogue as quickly as possible. And we were very happy when Mr. Chuma said he had talked to the Minister of Labor and he was made to understand that something substantive would be brought forward when the three social partners meet in Geneva in June.
Do you see these meetings helping deal with the labor issues that affect Zimbabwe?
It's impossible to answer that question. You are aware, as much as I am, that we all know what our problems are in Zimbabwe. What is lacking is the commitment to do something that will resolve those problems.
That was EMCO's director, John Mufukare, in Harare, speaking with Jonga Kandemiri.
Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Union Secretary General Japhet Moyo says the Workers' Umbrella Body is glad Mr. Chuma was able to meet with representatives from the government, labor, and employers.
His tour was a familiarization tour, so we took advantage of that just to advise him where we are in terms of our interaction with employers, or engagement with employers in terms of the interaction or engagement with government, programs to do with the TNF, where are they, the assistance we have been getting from IDO or other office. We hope that the briefing we gave him is going to assist him in terms of getting into the job, because he's now aware where the things are. In fact, he indicated that the previous day he was met government. So in our view, I think when he leaves this country, he's fully briefed by the three social partners on their views concerning the engagement. So he has got our view. Obviously, he's going to get the view of the employer and the view of government.
That was ZCTU Secretary General Japhet Moyo in Harare with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
The country's top musicians, led by Oliver Mtukudze and Charles Charamba, were in Chingwizi today visiting the more than 20,000 Tokwe Mkosi flood victims. The incessant rains that pounded Mashingo this season saw dam water levels at Tokwe Mkosi rising to dangerous levels, resulting in many homes being submerged underwater, and thousands in the Tokwe catchment area had to be airlifted to safety by the Zimbabwean and Namibian Air Force. A property was lost and crops destroyed in the process. Tuku tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the victims need food as the situation remains desperate.
Well, as you know, we had a national disaster, and it all happened when I was on tour in the States. Now I'm back home. I had to come here and see the situation, study the situation, and try and find out where I can be, if I can be of help, where can I what can I do? So that's why the visit.
Just tell us briefly what you were seeing on the ground.
Well, it is disastrous. You see, people are frustrated. Okay, they've started relocating them to pieces of land that allocated to them, but still, the stress is with the people is still there. And the problem of food is one of the most challenging issues here. People have no food. So I think we need more people to bring in food to give to the people.
That was music icon Oliver Mtukudze speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Chingwizi in Mashingo.
United States Ambassador to Zimbabwe Bruce Wharton today visited the First Street main Haifa stage as the country's premier arts festival entered its second day. Several non-profit organizations working in the HIV/AIDS field are exhibiting in Festo Street with the sponsorship from the United States President's Emergency Plan for AIDS, PEPFAR. HIFA spokesman Tafadzwa Simba says Ambassador Wharton, in his address to thousands of visitors at the First Street Arena, pledged America's support towards programs geared at fighting HIV/AIDS. Simba speaks with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye on this and other highlights at HIFA.
There was the whole gamut of shows that was happening from about 9 o'clock, and they will go on up until the early hours of tomorrow morning. Perhaps two exceptional highlights was the festival director's workshop that we held, a discussion forum. What this is basically is HIFA brings together festival directors from around the world, and we then get them together. The main thing is so that they see Zimbabwean talent, and hopefully they then engage the Zimbabwean talent for their festivals around the world. And then we improve the mobility of our very own artists. And then tomorrow what we're also doing is bringing together both the directors and the artists themselves so that they can have a networking session and actually interact one-on-one.
How important is it for HIFA to have synergies with other bodies like the Embassy of America in Zimbabwe?
We have a free stage, corner George Silundika Avenue and First Street. It's called the PEPFAR First Street Platform. This is named after the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, and this is one of the vehicles through which the United States government has major intervention into the health sector. And we have teamed with the U.S. Embassy in Harare to spread the word about HIV and AIDS prevention and mitigation and positive living through the creative use of the art. And I'm told by one of the embassy officials who was there that there was close to 2,500, if not 3,000 people who were there. And of course, they were there to interact with artists who were playing there, such as Ja Praiser. But also the U.S. ambassador did actually go there and he gave a few words and had a photo opportunity whilst on stage.
What can the public look forward to tomorrow? What are the major highlights that you'll be offering since tomorrow is a holiday?
For a start, there will be three shows on Telstra main stage, starting in the afternoon with Cheka at 2 o'clock. Cheka is the Cape Verdean guitarist who will be playing on the Telstra main stage. Then there will be Zobe Nyahore, who will be appearing on main stage as well, and then Chef Special from the Netherlands, which will be appearing on main stage at 10 o'clock.
And that was HIFA spokesman Tafadzwa Simba speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye at HIFA in Harare.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk every day at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will discuss with experts and you, the listener, topical issues affecting the country. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios. The number again, 001-202-465-0318.
The topic today is the Harare Festival of Arts, or HIFA.
And in sports news, here are the full-time scores from PSL matches played around the country today, Sandra.
Chiredzi, yes, was beaten 2-1 by Haumine, and goals were scored by Fungai Chirunda for Haumine. Actually, Fungai Chirunda was given a red card, Chris, but Musharu scored two goals against Norman Marotos, one for Chiredzi FC. And Harare City was once again beaten by Buffaloes 1-0, and Tafazu Kamombeshwara scored.
Yes, Sandra, and Shabani Mine beat Bantu Rovers 1-0, and the scorer for Shabani Mine was Twaliki Pen on the 11th minute. And finally, ZPC Kariba drew 0-0 with FC Platinum.
And tomorrow, Chris, Wange plays the Black Rhinos at the Colliery, and Capes United plays Triangle at the National Sports Stadium, and Chapungu versus Dynamos at Ascot. Chicken Inn plays Highlanders at the Barber Field Stadium.
Yes, and I took a glance at the log after these games, and I noticed that Dynamos is still on top.
Dynamos is really back on top, and it's going to be, it's a long season, things may change. Like in soccer, nothing is set in stone, so, you know, we look forward to many more matches. Unfortunately, time is not on our side. We have a quick recap before we hand you over to Ntunga Milinkomo.
The battle for the control of the MDCT continues with a faction calling for the ouster of party leader Morgan Tsvangirai, writing to the former prime minister asking him to appear before a disciplinary tribunal.
But the Tsvangirai faction says that the former trade unionist will not attend the hearing.